Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 811 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday. And joining us now by phone, as he does every Friday at about this time, is Julio Diaz, a good friend who hosts the Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock tomorrow.
I got a promotion.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, right. You know, you're the afternoon show now. And also the Pensacola Movie Club, of course, on Facebook, where you can get together with them and watch movies. This week, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Some movie about some turtles and comic books and sewers and pizza or something or other. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem is the name of this one. And this is the... Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I believe it's the 7th theatrically released Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, although they don't all, you know, they're not all. There's been a couple of different, this is an animated movie. There was a previous animated movie. There were also 5 different previous live action movies, 3 of which were one series, 2 of which were another series. So this is another fresh start, but animated, sort of.
Animated, sort of. What do you mean?
No, not animated. I don't mean animated, sort of. I mean fresh start, sort of.
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha.
Because it absolutely is animated. The style on this just looks fantastic. You can tell that the filmmakers who are led here by Seth Rogen as the producer on this and kind of the driving force behind this. You can tell they were kind of inspired by the look of the Spider-Man Spider-Verse movies.
Oh, okay.
Because it just really has a cool look to it. And apparently the same touch rubbed off on this because the reviews are fantastic on this.
Oh, nice.
95% on Rotten Tomatoes, by far the best reviewed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film. So if you only ever see one Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, this apparently is the one to see.
Okay, all right. That's sort of like saying if you're only going to watch one version of The Tick, watch the one with Patrick Warburton. Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird made a one-shot comic, Mirage Studios, and now we have this whole pantheon of TMNT stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, Mirage was just them. You know, it wasn't even like an actual publisher. It was just self-publishing.
It wasn't even Dark Horse Comics.
yeah. So they just it caught on, and here we are, years later. I think really you have the initial animated series to thank for that more than anything else. Once that got licensed and the toys got licensed, which, I'll just go ahead and throw a plug in there. If you are a fan of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series, you're going to want to make sure to come to Pensacon in February 23rd through 25th of 2024, because all 4 original turtles will be here in Pensacola.
Wow. All the voices?
Yes.
That's fantastic. You guys you genuinely do such a great job with Pensacon. It's an amazing thing every single time. The other movie, probably not quite rising to the same level of quality, The Meg 2, The Trench.
Yes. I assume Jason Statham's going to punch a giant shark.
Sounds right. I'm there.
I honestly did not see the first one. I know the first one had its fans, obviously, because they made enough money to make another one.
That's right.
I like Jason Statham well enough in general, but I have heard recently that there are a couple of actors, he is one of them, that have it in their contracts that they can never lose a fight in a movie. So it's like, they're going to win because they're the hero, but still, it's like, and then, I just kind of feel about this one the same way I felt about, San Andreas with The Rock, which I like Dwayne Johnson a lot too. But when that movie came out, I was like, oh, Dwayne Johnson's going to punch an earthquake.
Right.
And that's basically what it was.
Well, I mean, what you get with Jason Statham, though, is you get one of those things that's so rare for an action hero is you get a tremendous range of characters, emotions, depths. And, you never know what you're going to get from him. He's almost as diverse as, Liam Neeson.
Okay.
What are you guys gonna watch next week?
Well, I have been very much looking forward to this. Blue Beetle is coming out. It's a little bit more obscure DC hero, but he's a character that's been a favorite of mine, and the trailers just look great on this one.
I love Blue Beetle in the Justice League reboot. Oh, my God. Like, my favorite character. So.
Yeah, so very much looking forward to that. And well, and just to be clear, since you mentioned that, you went that nerdy on that.
Thank
this
you.
This is not the Ted Kord Blue Beetle. This is the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle, who's the next iteration of the Blue Beetle. Getting some diversity in there. There's some Easter eggs in the trailer that kind of mention the previous Blue Beetles too. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. But we're looking very much forward to that. We'll be checking that out next week at AMC Pensacola 18 on W Street.
Great. And you can follow them on Facebook. Do so, Pensacola Movie Club. And, of course, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, Let's Go Pensacola. Julio Diaz, my friend, always thank you for the time, sir. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Traffic on the fives before we get to the Transgressors Memorial Service. John Pickens sitting in for Candy today.
We've got one accident to let you know about that's causing some delay. North Davis Highway and Schubert Street. No roadblock associated with this one, but people are definitely slowing down to look at the accident there. That's a look at traffic on the fives.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
First remembrance this week is for Hugh Grant and everyone responsible for producing the new Willy Wonka film featuring him as an Oompa Loompa. As we've already noted, the concept of a story featuring miniature orange migrant workers who were human trafficked into the notoriously brutal chocolate factory slave labor industry has been an affront to modern sensibility and decency for years. But at least the original film depiction of them used real actors of non-average height. This newest outrage shows Hugh Grant 5'11" in reality, but shown as a person of diminished elevation held captive under a glass cake topper. Now look, if anyone deserves to portray a man with fewer height units imprisoned under a glass dome by an eccentric entrepreneur, it should obviously be someone who actually could fit in the container. If the trap won't last, you must recast. As faithful Inclusionistas, we object to this suddenly ferocious war on people of less than common verticality. Oompa Loompa Gate comes just weeks after we learned that Walt Disney Studios decided to eliminate 6 of the 7 little person roles from their remake of Snow White, writing the characters out of the plot and the actors who would portray them out of the job market. A choice which, for obvious reasons, we don't call downsizing. Speaking of which, how on earth did we ever get ourselves into the dwarf othering situation where upsizing is good and downsizing is bad? Tisk tisk, language police, do your job better. But now a movie which could have hired hundreds of people with alternate height styles instead chose to hire a tall white man to put on orange face and mock the manlings he displaced. Oh no, not on our watch. Hugh Grant be gone. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, farming. As U.S. Special Envoy Presidential, U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, John Kerry, recently noted at an international conference he probably bicycled to.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, and we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution.
Did you realize that one of the main problems keeping us from solving the climate crisis is the unbelievable fact that we all eat food? Every day? More than once a day? Even though we've been doing our best to outlaw meat because cow belches and pig farts produce methane, the most anti-earth gas of villainy ever identified, and even though the movement toward electric tractors does not seem to have gotten very far because global climate prefect Al Gore's proposed 100 million charging stations in cornfields has not yet been approved by Congress, and even though we almost thought we had persuaded people to start making the human race die off through widespread use of contraception and delaying marriage, yes, despite all these good faith efforts to evangelize our fellow man with the good news of climate alarmism, we continue to have more people and therefore more agriculture every single year.
Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today.
Egads, the time to act is now. Wear less cotton, stop consuming meat, don't make babies, and for goodness sake, if we don't learn how to use creative starvation as a tool for planetary rescue, we are on a collision course with catastrophe. The climate apocalypse is nigh. Let the defeating begin. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to give our strongest inclusivity hug to actor Michael Imperioli for his passionate denunciation of the Supreme Court's recent decision privileging anti-acronymist bigotry by allowing a Colorado wedding website designer to refuse her services to gay clients. As Mr. Imperioli wrote so bravely on Instagram, "I've decided to forbid bigots and homophobes from watching The Sopranos, The White Lotus, Goodfellas, or any movie or TV show I've been in. Thank you, Supreme Court, for allowing me to discriminate and exclude those I don't agree with and am opposed to. USA! USA!" Obviously, he meant the last part ironically. We trust that no actor in good standing would sincerely express patriotism. Now, some critics have said that he doesn't speak for the entire production the way a religious sole proprietor might, or that this is different from the Colorado case because he isn't being forced, for instance, to portray a homophobe on TV against his will. But this is beside the point. His post was pithy, emotional, and cost-free, which means we should heartily celebrate it. Obviously, we recognize there is no mechanism for enforcing this decision, and as such, it's purely for show. But as Pathenfinkel's third postulate on symbolic outrage reminds us, the more preposterous and impractical the virtue signal, the more proud the signaler should be of it. For the more empty the gesture is, the more praiseworthy it becomes. So true. But maybe Imperioli the Valiant is really onto something here. Imagine a world in which we could really turn the tables on those rejectors of the holy acronym string by excluding them from every artistic enterprise created by LGBTQ2SIA+ persons and their allies. Perhaps those who want to watch a movie should have to apply for a gay card and take a test to be sure they're sincere enough in their allyship. And of course, we assume Mr. Imperioli would be eager to return all the proceeds he has ever earned over his career from the patronage of any social conservatives. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, with announcements, the Committee on Strategic Wailing and Gnashing of Teeth will be meeting Wednesday in the choir room to practice this month's ceremonial Dirge of Despair in preparation for their performance at the National Conference on Useless Consternation in Ashland, Oregon this fall. Please note, this is a no tambourine event. Hand drums over 15 inches in diameter, Tibetan singing bowls, and low-frequency crystals are, of course, encouraged. Finally, it has been brought to our attention that several members of our congregation are experiencing a mental health crisis due to anxiety over their inability to get their neighbors to adopt a carbon-phobic lifestyle. As one NPR commentator recently noted,
my neighbor down the street, for one person, just bought a massive truck. And I felt anger. I felt anger in my body. What do you suggest I do with that?
Haven't we all felt that? So difficult to process. As a result, Greenpeace has dispatched a special team of environmental crisis counselors for anyone dealing with the unrelenting pain of seeing a neighbor purchase a fuel-inefficient vehicle or cook meat on a gas stove or use, and here I must apologize for this triggering terminology, an incandescent light bulb in their home. Sign up with Margaret Dunselman if you'd like to receive a tactical intervention.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:27 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Better the first time or the second time?
No, the second time, because I caught a lot more.
It's a multi-dip experience, that's yes, for sure. All right, John Pickens is sitting in for Candy again today. She'll be back on Monday. John's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 all flowing smoothly. No accidents to let you know about. This report brought to you by Discover. Discover credit cards do something awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned doubled. See terms and check out for yourself at discover.com/match. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Mm-hmm. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Two U.S. Navy sailors accused of spying for China. California U.S. Attorney Randy Grossman says it won't be taken lightly.
When a soldier or sailor chooses cash over country and hands over national defense information in an ultimate act of betrayal, we have to be ready to act.
A 22-year-old sailor based in San Diego and a 26-year-old sailor based at Naval Base Ventura, north of Los Angeles, were arrested. The two were accused of sending national defense information to Chinese officials for cash. The CDC says all infants younger than 8 months should now get a new antibody shot to protect against RSV. New CDC Director Mandy Cohen has already signed off on the recommendation, which will add the RSV vaccine to the CDC's childhood immunization schedule. And actor Danny Masterson is scheduled to attend a hearing in L.A. this morning. He's going to be sentenced for rape on September 7th. The actor was found guilty in May on 2 counts of forcible rape. He was accused of drugging women's drinks.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 828, News Radio 92.3. Somebody had asked me, how long does it take you to create the transgressors every day? And I mean, it's all ad lib. I just come up with that on the fly at the top of my
man.
2 hours. It takes about 2 hours to write on Thursday night. Thursday's a busy day. But yeah, typically
but
it takes,
it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate loved that. 437-1620. Oh, somebody said the only way to save the earth is to maintain the population of meat eating heathens below 500,000. The Georgia Guidestones say so. Let's get busy, Andrew. Oh my God. I don't know how we cultivate this audience of, you know, smart, snarky people. That's weird. It's a complete mystery how those folks would feel comfortable here. 437. Oh, this is, my goodness. I don't know if there's much of a story here, but it was an entertaining moment. You had a woman who, she's a vegan, which I don't particularly have a problem with that, except that I think a lot of people overdo it and, you know, to their own health detriment. I mean, you had this one, I don't know, vegan influencer or whatever, died recently because she wasn't getting her appropriate nutrition. So people have been criticizing this person. She's a TikToker, you know, for thinking that she's an extremist or whatever. And, you know, she actually did a video where she was on a plane. She was hallucinating.
Wow.
Because of her veganism, because she couldn't find appropriate food alternatives. And she posted that to share that, you know, how seriously devoted she is to this thing. And then in response to her critics,
I don't think I'm better than you. You think I'm better than you. And that's why you're mad.
Oh my God.
That's not much to say.
No, it maybe could be for some people. Just telling you, for me personally, that's not a good psychological archaeology. We'll be back with the wrap.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. New job numbers are in, slightly lower than most economists expected. Fox's Jenny Casola.
The Labor Department's monthly employment report found 187,000 new jobs created in July. The unemployment rate declined to 3.5%. Also, the number of jobs created in May and June was revised lower.
That revision means hiring was up slightly in July. Stocks start the day basically flat on Wall Street. Former President Trump is back at his home in New Jersey after pleading not guilty in Washington, D.C. to new federal criminal charges. Campaigns in Alabama tonight.
President Trump will be introduced by Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's made noise himself in the Senate for blocking military promotions over the Biden administration's military policy that reimburses travel expenses for service members who get abortion services.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. The former president's next D.C. court hearing is August 28th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31. News Radio 92.3. It's 84 degrees right now in Pensacola. A 20-year-old Pensacola man found guilty of two murders after a drug deal that went wrong in 2021. Yesterday, an Escambia County jury found Nathan Brown guilty in the deaths of 25-year-old David Purchase and 26-year-old Natalie Greeno. Brown met up with the two and attempted to rob them during a drug deal near Waycross and Stonewall Avenues, and Brown has been sentenced to life in prison. More anti-Semitic vandalism reported in Pensacola. Two more cases yesterday brings the total number of incidents to 8. The latest at Pensacola Liberation Center and at an Islamic community center.
I can tell you that Chief Randall, Deputy Chief Chrisman have pulled out all the stops on this investigation, and we're looking hard, and hopefully we'll have an arrest soon.
PPD spokesman Mike Wooden, he says finding whoever is responsible for the acts of vandalism is a top priority for the department. When an arrest is made, Wood says they'll face vandalism charges, and if investigators find any evidence that points to it being a hate crime, they could face charges for that as well. The sheriff's office investigating a shooting in Brent yesterday. Deputies say that happened on Hanson Boulevard. When deputies arrived at the scene, that was shortly after noon on Thursday. They say they found both a vehicle and a building that had bullet holes. Two possible suspects were seen leaving that area. Now, nobody was hurt in the shooting, but if you have any information, you're asked to contact the sheriff's office or to call Crime Stoppers. Well, if the rate changes are approved for a second time at their next meeting, ECUA customers' rates will be going up. The ECUA board voted in favor of those rate hikes in sanitation and wastewater last week. The increases are to cover higher costs and the recycling program, which sees close to 50% of items placed in recycling bins have to end up going to the landfill.
All that we can recycle are the basic simple things, glass, paper, cardboard, plastic bottles with either the number one or two label on it, plastic milk jugs, aluminum cans, tin cans, those, you know, very simple, basic things. If it has a combination of materials or if you have any doubt whatsoever, please put it in the trash can instead of the recycling.
And that is ECUA Executive Director Bruce Woody, and he says the board was presented with two options last week, either charge for recycling or raise base rates and spread the cost out among all customers. The board chose the latter. They've increased or voted to increase trash rates by 9.5% and wastewater costs by 5%. Woody says that should mean an increase of about $2.86, bringing the new rates to $33.03 per month. Northwest Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, speaking out on the political and dirty nature of the recent indictment against former President Donald Trump.
It's especially not a coincidence that on the heels of their former business partner, Devin Archer, saying that Joe Biden was functionally the closer, the guy that gave the credibility to the Biden brand for them to engage in international influence peddling, that just on the heels of that, now this indictment reads like a torturing of First Amendment protected activity.
And that interview done with Newsmax, Gaetz says Congress should demand Special Counsel Jack Smith present himself to the House Judiciary Committee for a transcribed interview. If he doesn't do that, then he says they should send a subpoena. And if he ignores the subpoena, Gaetz wants him held in criminal contempt of Congress. 8:35 at News Radio, and John Pickens has a look at our traffic.
That's right. We have one accident to let you know about on North Palafox Street, right there, Fairfield Drive and Tejar Drive. It's off to the side of the road, but still causing delays in downtown. Other than that, traffic is looking good. That's a look at traffic on your fives.
Happy Thursday. Another hot day. Heat advisory in effect across all of Northwest Florida from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Highs once again back into the middle 90s. Feels like temperatures could be as high as 110 through the afternoon with not much out there in terms of rain chances to cool us off. Same deal on Friday. Could be even hotter on Friday with highs back into the mid to upper 90s and feels like temperatures could even go above the 110 mark. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
And it's 84 in Pensacola, 84 in Gulf Breeze, and 83 in Milton. Your money now. The markets are opening up this morning. The Dow is up 117.48 at 35,333.37. The S&P 500 is up 24.95 at 45,27.55. The NASDAQ up 130.22 at 14,89.94. Our 10-year bond rate down at 4.12%. Gold prices today are up 760 at 1,976.40. Silver prices also up at 23.71. And for crypto investors, not a big change in Bitcoin. It's sitting down 69 cents at 29,246.06. Well, new federal data showing employment rose by 187,000 jobs last month. That is less than most analysts had been predicting. The monthly jobs report also showing the unemployment rate did remain steady at 3.5%. A number of Tesla owners suing the automaker now for fraud after a Reuters investigation discovered the company has been inflating the range estimates on their vehicles.
The suit, filed Wednesday in federal court in California, accuses Tesla of...
All right, not sure what happened there. It is 8:37, News Radio 92.3, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. This is the time of the week when we get together with some friends here in studio and we talk about the events of the week or whatever happens to come up. A lot of times it's not the events of the week. It's just whatever, you know, is interesting and within the area of expertise of the guests that I have. Today we've got a many times repeat offender and sometimes even fill in for me as a host, Danny Zimmer, the president of Pensacola Mardi Gras. Danny, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Andrew.
Always good to have you.
It is great to be here.
It's
great to be seen and not viewed.
That's right. And we also have Frank White, who, Frank, I'm just going to say this. Since the last time you were here on The Wrap, this is your second time, since the last time, something has changed in your public status, yeah?
Yes, something has changed. I filed a run for the Florida Senate.
Woo!
So Senate District 1 is Escambia County, Santa Rosa County, and the northern part of Okaloosa County.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Doug Broxson is the current senator. Our Constitution kicks him out, so mm-hmm. term limits is forcing him to leave. And so I filed a run to follow him.
So you persuaded him to get out of your way?
No, not at all. Not at all. The voters of the voters of Florida putting that in their Constitution did that.
I gotcha. Yeah, no, we always kind of wondered who was going to step in after him. And, of course, after your bid for Attorney General, it makes sense that you'd look for something like that. So
it's a super important
it
seat.
Really, I mean, mm-hmm. especially because, I mean, Broxson is so influential right now with the Appropriations Committee and everything. I mean, you know, it's one of the challenges we have in the panhandle is getting panhandle people into positions of power, real power.
And keeping them.
And keeping them, right, because, you know, you got to get reelected. And then Of course, after 8 years, all of that goes away and you got to build again, right?
Absolutely. And in Northwest Florida, we have 5-6 elected representatives in the Florida legislature. There are 30 within a few square miles in Miami. You know, the same thing in Orlando and Tampa. So it just, those numbers really matter. And in the area, getting good people in, staying, rising to positions of seniority and leading in the chamber can really make a difference.
Right, absolutely. No, it's
Senator Brockton's a great example of that.
Agreed.
How fantastic he's been for Northwest Florida and continues to be.
And head of appropriations
for the Senate.
And this is no secret anyway. I've told him, and I heard him tell somebody else the same thing when he was introducing me the other day. Is I wasn't convinced about Senator Brockton in the beginning. I wasn't on, you know, Team Brockton. I have come around. I mean, I see him doing very effective things over and over and over again. And, you know, and I've told him this, I think he's done a fantastic job for Northwest Florida.
He has been a great friend to Northwest Florida and has really delivered.
Yeah.
And he listens. He has a fantastic staff who both understand the issues and understand our district. Senator Brockton has just been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and even though Kevin had to leave his office to run for commissioner, which he did not win that bid, but then Janice Gilley steps in when she was, you know, forced out, I think rather unfairly, definitely unfairly, from the county commission, being the county administrator. But that turns out to be a win for everybody too, just because she's fantastic in that role and, of course, a great asset. And he's, you know, one thing about I'd say about Brockton is he's not the guy out self-promoting.
Absolutely.
And so
just the opposite, honestly.
Yeah, like he's always, but every time I'm asking people, hey, who's involved in this? Oh, Proxen's involved in this. Oh, okay. Like, for instance, we're dealing with this issue at NES Pensacola, right? 500, well, I think it was almost $500 million in damage from Hurricane Sally. I know it was over 400, a number that they were kind of reluctant to say at first because it's such a big price tag. Getting the Navy to pay just to restore something that's going to always be in the vulnerability path. I mean, we are a hurricane town, you know, our origins are in hurricanes, right? But small parts of that problem have unique pressure points attached to them, like the hangar that the Blue Angels operate out of is not good. I mean, it's really a mess. It's, you know, where they have netting in there to keep the ceiling from falling on the planes. Like, it's bad needing all of this repair. And, you know, everybody's working on the problem, but it's not easy to get that price tag. What, $20 million, I think, is the number to get that hangar replaced?
I think it's really more than that.
Probably would be.
At the end of the day. So, you know, just my perspective on that, that's why we need great leadership around here, because you have to build some consensus.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about federal money, so you've got to have a decent step up the ladder, right? So Tallahassee having a Northwest Florida guy is hard enough, much less getting some attention when every military base across the country is looking for funding. We're trying to get the Department of Defense to fund Pensacola, NAS Pensacola, for a hangar to keep the Blue Angels here. I think what's really interesting about that is people say they'll always live here and just take it for granted, and I don't think you can take that for granted. I think there's other places that would love to have the Blue Angels and would make their own case. So if they did leave, they would try to keep them if that happened, so that we don't want that to happen. People don't realize that in the NFL playoff game last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars had Blue Angels stickers on their helmets.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember it, that.
That's not a very distant move.
No, that was, hey, world. You know?
I mean, we can do this too.
It's kind of a wake-up call when you really peel the layers back.
And people, you're absolutely right. You know, it is very easy to just assume that, oh, you know, there, look at what we've done. We've got the planes are up on the interstate, and we got the tower that almost got undone, so I have to say. You know, we got the support of the local community and all, and the museum, and, you know, there's a lot of advantages to being here, but the Blue Angels, like any other mission, could be somewhere else, had been in the past, you know, right, somewhere else. And, you know, if things went wrong, if they were displaced for a year or two by a storm, you know, or even just the construction of the hangar, as, you know, my own boss was quoted in the PNJ story about this recently, you know, there's always the possibility that could go away if we're not really prepared for it. Right, Frank?
Absolutely. And it's something that our elected leadership, it must be job number one. And they've got to all align and do whatever it takes. It is a big number. And it is across the state level, federal level, local level, to find the resources to, you know, secure that mission here at NAS.
Yeah, I mean, how, like, I'm just trying to, you know, again, and previous base commanders and, you know, other folks have made the case, like, you know, you need to think about this because anything can go away. And we don't want to, but just try to imagine the impact on tourism and tourism dollars. I mean, the financial footprint of the Blue Angels is pretty small in the grand scheme of NAS Pensacola's money. And, you know, they're, you know, pretty small by comparison with the, you know, what is it, 5,000, something like that on base? It might be more than that. I forget now. So that's not the issue. The issue is what they do for us as an identity, as an economy, as a recreational destination.
Andrew, you're right on. And it reminds me a little bit of the BP oil spill, where, you know, then there was a clear economic damage to all of us from the BP oil spill, but also just, you know, it ripped part of us out. You know, we love fishing. We love our beaches. It hit us at that level that was, it's the same sort of thing with the Blue Angels. If it were to, the idea of it going away is just, it'd do the same thing. It'd rip a piece of our soul out, I think.
Absolutely.
It would be terrible. I mean, it's really kind of who we are around here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would take away a ton of our identity.
And we clearly continue to do everything to build them and to build the relationship, but you just, you know, you always have to think from the Navy's perspective. And if you got, you know, this big infrastructure cost and somebody else comes along with a sweet offer, and, you know, you got to always work to make that relationship good. I mean, that's just a basic, you know, relational advice component. 8:46 on News Radio 92.3. We're talking to Danny Zimmer and Frank White. It's The Wrap. We'll get traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about. It's not causing just a little bit of delay. North Palafox Street and Fairfield Drive and Tejar Drive. Seeing some delays around that. So that's the only thing with traffic right now. Good morning. Traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. So the big news story this week has obviously been the Trump indictment, this third round of indictments against him for behavior leading up to the January 6th insurrection, and basically all of the stuff around trying to affect the election, trying to defraud and conspire to defraud, and has happened in previous times. He goes out, says, "I didn't do it," and his support goes up. You know, indictments drive up the support for him. As a legal matter, you know, you ran to be the attorney general. You know, you're a lawyer, obviously. How do you read this case, Frank?
I see it as political, and which is a shame. It's, you know, it's banana republic kind of stuff that we've had now. It's another week, another Trump indictment. I mean, I think this is number four. It's absurd, and I hate it that this is where, you know, they're just the erosion of the rule of law, and that it respect. We respect prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
We have historically, and this tarnishes that, I think, that brand of the prosecutor, and that's a bad thing for the rule of law.
What I said when this first came out was, if this had come on its own first time there was a charge allegation against him, it'd be one thing. But it's after this never-ending parade of harassing efforts to try to dismantle, put him out of office, or whatever you want to call it, that it's hard to take. It's almost like at this point, there's almost nothing you could say that wouldn't make us think it was political, because that's all it's been so far. And then make this case all, you know, you want me to take this seriously on top of everything else.
It is crazy. It is a very, very complicated time to think about what we're going through. I'm sorry.
Turn your phone off, Danny.
what we're going through as a country. I am a little bit hopeful that the Trump team will have the ability to subpoena people and sort of relitigate if there was election fraud or problems across the country. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to have to, or else that, you know, they've got to build some facts. It's just so dangerous. And the idea, I don't know, it is an absolute crazy time. I was in Washington all of last week. We took our 10-year-old goddaughter, and it is really, really crazy and kind of interesting how it all goes. We've become so divided, you know. The street vendors are selling, you know, both party stuff. They're both ugly, and they're selling them out of the same. They're selling them out of the same, you know, wagon or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's crazy. And, you know, people.
Well, it's like the arms merchants, right? You know, we'll sell to both sides. That's fine. Yeah. You know, all we want is war.
But, you know, when you go like to a SEC football game, you wear a shirt that has the logo on it or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what everybody in Washington's doing. is, you know, they show up wearing, you know, either a Trump something shirt or a Biden something shirt or whatever.
Yes. The difference with SEC football and you know, the Washington, D.C. is that in Washington, D.C., we've now weaponized the criminal justice system.
Right.
Right.
And this is the first criminal indictment of a former president in American history. So, you know, it's just it's reached a level that we everyone should be alarmed. And it's exactly why every time there's yet another indictment by another agenda-driven, ideological, you know, political, democratic operative, you see Trump's numbers go up. Well, and it's people are rejecting it. They see it for what it is.
So, Andrew, it's really interesting. That's what we're talking about, right? Have you seen those timelines where a Hunter Biden something happens and then the next day? So what
within
are we talking about?
Within a day or two every time.
We're not talking about Hunter Biden. We're talking about Trump.
That's right. Yeah. And that, like, there are so many dimensions to the Biden corruption allegations. You know, Burisma in Ukraine is really only one slice of it. Then you've got all these Twitter file stuff. That's an amazing story that the Biden administration is pressuring Facebook to deprioritize certain news sources like the New York Post, not just censoring the one story, but to try to get them to be less visible in people's feeds and instead promote what they consider to be more reliable sources. And they're, you know, repeated efforts to do that. That is an enormous story and I think a First Amendment violation by the Biden administration. And yet, where do you hear that? I mean, you know, maybe on Fox, and yes, Fox is reporting it, but, you know, you're not seeing that. That's, I look at the headlines across the board, ABC, NBC, New York Times, Washington Post, all the time. You know, I don't see that in the regular coverage, and I'm like, my God, this is a huge story.
Absolutely. You're totally right, Andrew.
You know, this Orwellian stuff, that's what's the most scary of it all to me. If nobody talks about it, is it is it a thing or not?
Right. Yeah. And yeah. if you do talk about it, do they change it later?
Yeah.
You know, you get punished for talking about it. The stuff around the social media is, it's so difficult because you have this, you know, private companies, right? For-profit companies operating with certain kinds of legal immunity, but they are clearly massively influential in how people think, what they think about, what they know, what they take for knowledge. And, you know, I hate to agree with a weird little TikTok video we played earlier from a girl who was, you know, genuinely off a rocker. But the one thing she said I agree with is, you know, the power of the algorithm is tremendous. You know, everybody's worried about AI and deep fakes and all of the stuff that comes with replacing people's jobs. But, you know, the algorithm is a kind of AI, and the way that shapes the information you see, it doesn't tell you what to believe, but it tells you what to think about, you know, that kind of thing is, I mean, it's horrifying to think about that.
Andrew, this is your business. This is your industry. You know, you've dedicated your career to it. Do we need more regulation of it? I mean, what do you see as a path forward?
Well, on the social media, I think yes. I mean, I think they've lost their ability to be protected by the Section 230. I don't think they should be operating. They're acting as publishers. And because they agreed to the Biden administration's demands, they became publishers. And so I don't think they get protection the way they wanted. I think in the beginning it was useful to protect the billboards from stuff, but bulletin boards. But I think they definitely should be regulated. The shape of the regulation, I frankly can't see it becoming worse than it is now. So I'm almost willing to try something and see if there's any effectiveness to it. But yeah, that's what do you think? You're the lawyer.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I mean, that's the way I think it was come to that for sure.
And certainly like the public expectation, right? Like I know that news sources are going to pick and choose what stories to cover, and they're going to have perhaps a view or no view. But the expectation on social media is I can see what I want to see. Well, no, you can see what they want to show you. And that distinction is enormous. And if I want to show to other people and they're wanting to hear what I have to say, but they can't or find me shadow banned or their feed deprioritized, that kind of stuff is... That is clearly violating what we all think of as the sort of public space, the town square kind of mindset that we have about social media.
Well, like this, the specialized, I mean, they could tell how long you look at something, literally, and put that into some algorithm to see what it is you like or don't like, and much less if you click on something or touch on something and whatever. It's just crazy, and to the way that could be manipulated to send some message.
Yeah, I mean, and I see parallels too. In, you know, we see stories about the the books in our kids' schools.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, published, you know, who's deciding what books go into those schools? Well, mm-hmm. it's really more the publishers and the big, you know, it's big publishing companies
sure.
that push, you know, have published the lists and pushed packages on libraries.
Which cater in their design to the biggest states that have the highest purchasing capability, Texas and California. Now Florida, they're having to deal with a different kind of Florida. But historically, was it a surprise that you saw this lean, this bias in your textbooks when California was the one setting the pace that the publishers would try to cater to, because they certainly don't want to lose the deal with California? You know, that was always a problem, right?
Absolutely. You also see it in, you know, Governor DeSantis and his, you know, the College Board, which mm-hmm. is, you know, mm-hmm. a nonprofit organization that publishes curriculum for schools all across the country, and they're getting suddenly right here, right before the start of the school year, reacting to a law that, you know, that was passed months ago
right.
in Florida.
You could have dealt with this, right?
Absolutely. And we see an agenda that they're pushing through a little portion of a psychology course that, mm-hmm. you know, it's clear in Florida, set the rules, set the law, mm-hmm. and now here at the last minute, the College Board, with clearly an agenda, is all of a sudden saying, you know, DeSantis has banned psychology, the study of psychology right. in Florida schools. Totally false and totally political.
Completely.
What I remember about the strategy of Marxist change, whether you're talking about Saul Alinsky or whether you're talking about, you know, going to the Hegelian dialectic or any of that stuff, is stretch the boundaries, create a new normal around a compromise from an extreme you didn't need to get in the first place, create a crisis. When there's no crisis there, because a crisis raises attention and shifts your focus. I mean, there's nothing we're seeing that's sort of brand new, but it's just being used so much more effectively than I've ever seen on the national scale as well. We're talking to Danny Zimmer and Frank White, a couple of friends here for the wrap. Let's get another traffic on the fives from John Pickens.
Everything's looking good right now. I-10, I-110 all flowing smoothly. Highway 90's looking good too. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much. Good news. It's almost football season.
Wait, let me ask you, Andrew. I know you want to switch subjects. We only have a couple minutes.
Yeah, all right.
Is Donald Trump going to show up for the debate?
See, I don't think he can. Psychologically, I think he knows he wins in that environment because he's great at.
He can't stand to not.
He can't stand to not be there dominating. Yeah, you know, there's been times when he's not gone to a thing and then he's done his own counter programming or whatever. I think that he knows it works for him to show up and slay. And he does. I mean, what do you think is going to happen in a debate between Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump? I'm a DeSantis fan. I prefer DeSantis. I think he's the, you know, but I don't think he wins in a debate environment.
No, and very interesting, because the dynamic is such that the candidates can't really come out attacking.
Right. Right,
the Trump, because they might end up being on a short list. Right?
That's right. In fact, Ramaswamy might be the VP candidate or whatever. And you know, I mean, same for Mike Pence. I mean, Mike Pence. I love Mike. I think he's got great ideas. He's a real conservative. He's a very smart guy. He's done it all. But on a debate stage in the modern American culture of what we like to like, Mike Pence doesn't sell compared to Trump. I mean, it's not even a contest.
The one thing that's for sure is if Donald Trump is in the debate, we will all tune in and watch.
That's right.
All-time biggest show ever, whatever.
Yeah, and but at the same token, I think there's a rationale of him not showing up, which is that what does he have to gain by being there? And what does he have to lose by not going? And the answer is he's got nothing to gain and nothing to lose. But I just don't think he would be willing to avoid it, even for the look like he was trying to avoid it, would be, you know, offensive to him. Well, Frank White, thank you for joining. It's good when good people run.
Let's support Frank White for State Senate.
State Senate. And Danny D1. Zimmer, Principal at Mardi Gras. Gentlemen, thanks
for
showing up today.
Don't support me for anything.
We'll see y'all on Monday.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.